This is the Matt Thomas Show.
102 Sports Talk 790, hour two or three on a Wednesday edition of the show. We thank you very much for listening. Participating on the phones either at 713-212-5790 or through Twitter at SportsMT and at Brendan Riley _. Let's spend 10 quality minutes with our buddy Jake Kaplan at Jake M. Kaplan on Twitter, the esteemed writer for The Athletic on the Astros beat. Jake, long time no talk. How's your world?
My world is okay. I've missed you. I've been waiting for your call.
Well, I wasn't going to call you to say what's going on when nothing was going on. I mean, unless just you want to exchange pleasantries.
We could have talked about Tyrese Maxey and Matisse Thybulle and the potential Sixers package for Harden a couple weeks ago.
Well, why don't we talk about Ben Simmons' three-point percentage this year? Would you like to do that?
I don't know. The one game I watched, he hit a three, so he's 100% in my book.
Yeah, that's true. In the Jake Kaplan book, he's a 100% three-point shooter. All right. The percentages of George staying here was zero from the time he left the baseball team, correct? You didn't think there was any chance the Astros would have put something together, do you?
I don't know if it's ever zero, but extremely slim. Yeah, close to zero. It's just kind of become their MO over the years, right? They don't really do the free agent thing. They use free agency more for kind of the complementary 1 and 2 year players, limit risk, maybe a bounce back candidate who they can rebuild their value. But, it's not a coincidence that they haven't signed a free agent for even 3 years since Josh Reddick's 4 year contract in November of 2016. It's been all 1 and 2 year deals since then. So that's just kind of how they do things, and it's worked for them.
The number one thing that made the Astros not think of that, do you think it was length of contract, that what he was looking for, the one super big payday, because it was the first time he was able to be a free agent? Or do you think it was he's 31 years old and they just, from a philosophical standpoint, don't want to spend that kind of money on a position player for that length of time?
I think it's both, and I think it's the average annual value too. They paid the luxury tax in 2020, but, it's extremely likely that they will dip back under it in 2021 and reset. I think that was always the likelihood. You know, they kind of went over it as part of the Zach Greinke gamble there. You know, that was the decision, but I think it was always a one-year thing. And then you add in, Springer's 31. His six-year contract is going to take him through, his age 36 season. He's probably not going to stick in center for that whole contract, if even half of it. Although, I think he's going to add a lot of value in right field, too. And, length of contract. I mean, you also have to think of the timing. Like, if you're a free agent and you're looking at where the Astros are right now, the outlook is not the same as it was when Jose Altuve signed his extension, right? They were at their peak at that point. Now they're on the other side of their peak. And if you're a player and you're signing up for a long-term home and there's a chance the team might have to rebuild in that contract length, it makes a lot less sense.
All right, so there was a report out from Hazel May at MLB Network that was erroneous about Michael Brantley signing with Toronto. Still very well could happen. And I've always heard those two guys are two peas in a pod, so maybe he does eventually wind up there. But if you heard anything about any other teams trying to make a last-ditch effort to kind of court Michael Brantley?
No, I haven't specifically. I don't know the ins and outs of why that, came out prematurely or whatnot. But usually when there's smoke, there's fire, right? And while 3 years seems like a lot for Brantley, at this point, I wouldn't be surprised if it gets done. It's on some terms over there. Springer and Brantley are very close. I think that would, that would give the Blue Jays probably the best outfield in baseball between Michael Brantley, George Springer, and Teoscar Hernandez. And it also gives them a surplus where they might be looking to trade like a Randall Grichuk or even maybe a Lourdes Gurriel for pitching. So, I don't know the ins and outs of where the Brantley thing exactly stands, but usually when something like this comes out, there's usually something to it.
All right. So Tell me a baseball team, Jake, that survives losing two-thirds of its starting outfield, and you pick up where you left off. Give me some wisdom on this. On we know, obviously, that Kyle Tucker's got a spot, but those other two spots are wide open at this point, are they not?
They are. I mean, if the season started today, it would be Miles Straw in center field and Chaz McCormick, who's never played in the majors, in right field. I think they will add someone. I'd be shocked if they didn't. And maybe even two outfielders. I would be pretty surprised at two. I think it's probably more likely to be one. And, you know, I think they're going to, you know, kind of similar to the transition from 2018 to 2019 when the Astros went from that all-world rotation to a worse rotation that was still good. I think fans are going to have to reset their expectations a little bit on the outfield, and especially in terms of offensive production. It's going to be a huge drop-off. At the same time, they will get more offense from the DH spot because Jordan Alvarez is back. So, you know, it's just a different roster. I think they're still probably right now 1A or 1B in their division because the A's haven't done anything this offseason. But I mean, their super team days of 100 wins are – I think those ended with Howie Kendrick's home run in 2019. So I think it's more just a different roster. The runs are going to come from different positions and expectations. I think they're still going to be a contender. It's just not, you know, maybe it might be more of the 88 win variety than the 107.
Jake Kaplan, The Athletic, with us here on Sports Talk 790. We know who Miles Straw is. We just do. Tell me about Chaz McCormick. I don't remember seeing him, but maybe once or twice in spring training. But what do you think they think of him, and what do you think of him?
I think they're higher on him than people realize. I think he might play a bigger role than people expect in 2021. He's a right-handed hitting outfielder who profiles best in a corner, but he can stand in center if you need him to. He had a big power jump from 2018 to 2019 in the minors, and that kind of put him on the map. He's really good against lefties, so maybe he's a platoon guy. I think in a perfect world, he's like their fourth outfielder who can give guys a day off. I don't think he's the starter, at least in 2021, but I do think he will play a bigger role than some people realize.
What about the name Jackie Bradley Jr.? How intriguing is that for you as a replacement for George?
I think it's very intriguing. He's an elite defensive center fielder, and, you know, I think they could use that to help them cover their defense in the outfield. We saw how important that is in the ALCS last year. I think Bradley could be kind of like the Astros' Kevin Kiermaier if they went that route, a guy who's bottom third of the order, bats left-handed, occasional pop, but he's there more for his defense. That being said, I would kind of be surprised if the Astros won his services just because of, again, back to earlier in the conversation, how they approach free agency. Like, there's a lot of teams that are in need of an outfielder, and Bradley's really the best center fielder available now. And it's never really been the Astros' MO to win a bidding war and give guys 3 years or 4 years. So I'd be surprised. I think it'll probably end up being someone else that they add, and it might be a corner outfielder which would leave Miles Straw in center. But, you know, it's tough to tell. It's tough to know exactly everyone is on the trade market. There could be some name we're not even talking about who pops out of nowhere that they trade for.
Yeah, Jake, you and I know trying to sell Miles Straw as an everyday center fielder is going to be a tough go for Astro fans. Maybe be tough for that locker room, that clubhouse.
Yeah, I think it would be a pretty big risk. For sure. I think they would be wise to insure themselves against the possibility that it doesn't work and he, you know, kind of pencil him into the backup role like he's been in the past. But it's not out of the realm of possibility. That's how it turns out. And, you know, I mean, teams have survived with a defense-first, nine-hole hitting center fielder plenty of times. I don't think it would be the end of the world by any means, but you know, it would be a tough ask, especially coming off of George Springer, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
if there was a gap year with someone else in between, maybe it plays a little bit better in the fan base. But yeah, I mean, at this point in the offseason, with less than a month of spring training, like, it's definitely a possibility.
All right. The numbers that Carlos Correa wanted to play for in 2021 are significantly different than what the Astros were willing to pay, thus the arbitration hearing coming up. I've always said this, and again, it's not like every athlete's the same, but having covered a lot of baseball in my life, if you are down to a year left and you're free agent and you don't have a deal done by the end of spring training, that's a terrible sign for that team trying to retain him. We've seen that firsthand with the Astros on several occasions. How important is it in your world, in your personal opinion, that Carlos Correa gets an extension before the Astros break camp at the end of March?
I don't know. It depends on, you know, I don't know. Like, I never expect them any team to sign extensions. Like, it's always a surprise, I feel like. And how many extensions have there been since the pandemic started? The only one I can really recall that was like of the Correa magnitude was Mookie Betts. I mean, you could say Yuli Gurriel signed the 1 year extension, but he's 36, 37. It's a little different. You know, given the Astros' track record, given the fact that they can't come to terms on a one-year salary, doesn't exactly suggest that they'll align on an 8-9-10-year salary. Given how they build their team and how many needs they're going to have next offseason, I think we're going to be having the same conversation a year from now about Correa.
Because here's the thing. I do have examples. I have Justin Verlander getting his extension during spring training. I have Alex Bregman getting his extension. And I've got Jose Altuve getting his. So I do know how the Astros somewhat operate. Now, it doesn't mean that three players dictate how a franchise works top to bottom. But if it's important to the Astros and Carlos is willing to listen, they'll get it done sometime in Florida.
Well, those are not the best comps for Correa's situation. I mean, Bregman was years, he wasn't even in arbitration yet. They bought out his arbitration years and added only 2 years to delaying his free agency by 2 years. So it was kind of a way different situation. Altuve had 2 seasons left before free agency. Verlander is the closest, and Presley. But in Verlander's case, he was setting a record for average annual value. And, you know, his age kind of presented the luxury of that short-term deal, whereas Correa is going to want a long-term deal. So, I don't know. At the same time, if you're Correa, don't you want to see what's out there? I mean, where this team is right now, but like I said earlier, they're on the other side of their peak. What's your incentive to sign an extension before the season? And let's not forget, he didn't have a good regular season last year offensively. He could build a lot of value for himself with a strong 2021 season heading into free agency. So I don't really see it. I think it's kind of going to go the same way that the Springer trajectory went, and Gerrit Cole before him, and Dallas Keuchel before him. It's just, you know, it's unfortunate for fans who get sentimental about these players and attached to these players, rightfully so. But the front office in baseball now, it's all about economics. And it's hard to expect that anything's going to change when this has been their model for so long.
All right. Keep an eye on it. Jake, they can find you on Twitter at Jake M. Kaplan and your great articles on The Athletic. It is well worth the subscription. Appreciate the time, and go Penn State basketball. Whatever they're playing this week.
Are they good? I don't know.
No, I don't either. Nobody cares either. I just was being polite.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it, Matt.
You got it. Go Cougs. See you later. That's Jake M. Kaplan from The Athletic on the Astros beat.